The New South Wales Supreme Court has upheld a ruling which found three Australian media outlets are responsible for alleged defamatory comments posted on Facebook. On stories they published about former Don Dale Youth Detention Centre detainee Dylan Voller. Voller was the subject of the ABC's Four Corners program in 2016, which sparked a royal commission into youth detention facilities. He's suing Fairfax Media, Sky News and Nationwide News over a number of comments and articles about him, which were made by the public. Dr. Margaret Simons is a freelance journalist, author and journalism academic and joins us for some analysis. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patricia.
This case has been in the court for some time. What did you make of today's developments?
Well, I wasn't entirely surprised. It's important to note, I think, that this doesn't concern all comments that people make on Facebook anywhere. This was about comments on the Facebook pages that are run by these media companies and that are, to some extent or other, moderated by these media companies. And I think it's pretty hard for the organisations to say that they're in no way responsible for what's published on those papers. It's a bit like letters to the editor, for example, in the old-fashioned world when we actually had ink on paper. The paper couldn't claim that it wasn't responsible for publishing a letter or a comment. That the practical problem, of course, for these media companies is that moderating online comments takes a huge amount of time because there are so many of them.
There are often hundreds of comments, as you say, that appear on each story an organisation puts up on Facebook. So how can they manage it?
Well, it's very resource intensive, and it may mean that media companies have to either invest a bit more time and money into moderating those comments, which, of course, with the difficulties the media are in at the moment, is not easy to do at all, or they will simply have to block comments from their Facebook pages and social media presence. I think it's going to be one of those two. But of course, it doesn't stop you or me from posting a link to an article and making a comment on our own page or commenting on somebody else's comment on their page. All of that is the responsibility of the person controlling the site rather than the media company.
News does exist on social media. It really can't not exist on social media. People share articles, they discuss stories and their opinions. How much responsibility should media organisations have in what gets published?
Well, I think that the principle hasn't changed. Obviously, the platform and the means of publication has changed, but the principle in defamation law has always been that people are responsible for what they publish, not only for what they actually are the author of. So as I say, news organisations have always been responsible for letters to the editor, or if I quote you saying something defamatory and then publish it in the newspaper, I'm responsible for publishing that quote. You may also be responsible for it, but I can also be sued. It's one of the things about defamation law, which has a chilling effect, if you like. And the realities of defamation law, it tends to be about power and money. People sue the organisation that has the most money. So I may be sued if I'm Fairfax, for example, or News Corporation, whereas the ordinary citizen probably wouldn't be sued because it's just not worth it.
There's another interesting media story around right now. Microsoft has announced journalists will be replaced by automated systems to pick which stories appear on the MSN homepage. I mean, I personally, as a journalist, you know, find that kind of alarming. Do you?
Yes. Yes, it is alarming. I mean, it's part of a trend of trying to replace journalists in some jobs. For example, business reporting, when it's just a sort of straight retelling of the stock exchange results or whatever. There have been robots doing that for a while, I'm sorry to say. It's very formulaic reporting, of course. Mm. It's basically filling in a form with numbers. But I would have thought this one goes a bit against the trend. You know, we're seeing more emphasis on social media and web-based companies having to take responsibility for what they publish. You know, for example, just in the last few days, we've seen Twitter making really very serious journalistic decisions about how to treat tweets from the President of the United States. And these are the sorts of judgment calls and moral decisions that really are best made by human beings. So I would have thought this one's a little bit against the trend rather than in accord with it.
Look, just finally, before I let you go, obviously we know that that you know many media companies have announced the laying off of journalists. News Corporation, of course, the latest, although we can't quite quantify the impact of that. What does this mean for media diversity and reporting across the country? Are you alarmed by the sort of acceleration of the pace?
Absolutely,
because of coronavirus?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think you're quite right. This has accelerated the trend, but the Public Interest Journalism Initiative, which I'm a board member of, has been warning for quite a while now that the emergence of news deserts in suburban Australia, but also in our regions, it's a tragedy, really, and a crisis for our ability to know ourselves as a community and to have a sense of agency and belonging. And that was happening before COVID, but the COVID crisis has pushed a lot of vulnerable businesses over the edge. And, you know, it is a terrible tragedy for our society and I think deserves public policy responses.
Thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Dr. Margaret Simons is a freelance journalist, author and journalism academic. This is RN Drive.